Hello, my name is Vidal, and this is episode 65 of The Journey, a conversation that we have on a daily basis on leadership, culture, and creativity. This is a very special podcast for me because I'm actually recording the podcast sitting in one of the waiting areas for MD Anderson, the cancer center here in Houston, Texas, and I will probably remember for the last 10, 15 years. I've visited this institution multiple times throughout the years. As a pastor, I get to visit people who are going through terminal illness, through situations where it is painful and difficult to come into places like this. I can give multiple testimonies of scenarios and experiences with families and people that we have learned to love and care for. But within the last 7 months, 8 months, my visits to MD Anderson have been almost weekly, for sure monthly, where we have, as a family, been facing the situation of my mother going through treatment. And today is one of those days that she has gone through multiple examinations and treatments. And I get to spend a lot of time just sitting on these couches and meeting people, talking to people while she goes from one appointment to another. It's a long day. When we come and visit doctors and again go through procedures, and I just cannot help but pause for a moment through the busyness of the day and again just masses and multiple numbers of people going back and forth in this huge complex of multiple buildings to reflect on the goodness of the God of our creation to allow us to have some considerations over what does it mean to deal with illness? What is the whole thing of sickness that is so prevalent in our world, especially when you again look at scenarios which they are either diagnosed or they are described as terminal, and as beautiful as science and doctors and as precious of a gift as they are to humanity. We totally understand that the biblical perspective allows us to see healing as a gift from God, healing that holistically belongs to God. And sometimes God uses science and doctors and nurses and treatments and technology to bring that healing into the reality of our bodies and our society. But many times God does it in spite of those things. And he simply chooses and miraculously touches people in ways that go beyond the what you may call the natural. Well, I am reminded on an afternoon, early afternoon like today, that when it comes to healing, just like illness, it's got to be perceived as means to an end. And for us, for me, the win is always a relationship with God. So for us to understand the purpose of illness, the purpose of why people get sick, and especially when you see the supernatural power of God healing those individuals, is for the solid purpose that we might become more like Jesus, that we might learn to walk in Christ's likeness. It is pretty obvious that illness is a tangible reality and a tangible reminder that we lived in a fallen world, and that the fallenness of the world is also a reminder that the one who controls and temporarily rules over this world is exactly what the Bible describes as the prince of the air, which is Satan. Now, I am obviously not implying that Satan has ultimate or supreme dominion over things, but especially when it comes to this reality of the brokenness of our bodies and how much we are all affected by the reality of the fallen world that we lived in, we have to be reminded that just because God sometimes chooses not to intervene does not imply that Satan has that ultimate authority, ultimate power. In other words, what we need to understand that in the midst of illness, in the midst of sickness, and in the midst of the quietness of God, sometimes when God just simply chooses not to heal the individual, it is not a synonym that Satan has ultimate power. but Satan and illness and any other dominion on the face of this planet has limited authority, limited power. And this is why when it comes to such limited power, we understand that, again, Satan, illness, sickness, always serves the purposes of God. I am not sitting in this place trying to convey to you that I fully understand the purposes of God. I do believe illness serves the purposes of God. I do not fully understand those purposes most of the time, many times. All that I know, all that I can say is that in spite of God's ultimate decision over sickness, here is what I can tell you, and this is what I know, especially when I have seen my mother walk through this pilgrimage, which is a pretty painful pilgrimage, is that the goodness of God never changes. He is a good God. And part of the goodness for me, for us, is as I get the privilege to pray with Mom, as she, you know, goes into these treatments on a day like this, I am constantly reminded that my prayers cannot be, should not be exclusively focusing on asking God or trying to convince God to be good to my mom. The reality is that God is good. He is a good father. He is a good God. And by nature, he desires to give and convey this goodness. So most of our prayer should not be focusing on convincing God to be good to us. But instead, we need to understand that no other person, there is no single person that is for those who are ill and sick than God. God is for those who are hurting. God is the God of compassion and mercy, that he delights to be for those who are in need. Now, the challenge with that statement that I have learned and seen through the scriptures is that the prerequisite or the vehicle that God uses to convey that statement that he is for those who are in need is exactly worship. See, worshiping God is the ability to recognize that we are not bodies with souls, that we are souls with bodies, that although our bodies are basically moving into a deterioration, moving into a complication, and again, being affected by the brokenness of this world, the reality is that our souls are completely and constantly renewed by the presence and the authority and the mercy of God. So again, what worship allows me to do is for me to contemplate the sovereignty of God, even through his silence. Even when healing is not physically manifested, I'm still able to contemplate that sickness has limited authority over my body and that God has ultimate authority over everything that happens in my life. Again, I do not fully understand why God sometimes heals people and why God sometimes chooses not to bring physical restoration. I do not fully understand those things. I don't have answers exactly on how that works. But what I do understand, and again, I'm very aggressive, very intentional to speak on over these issues almost on a weekly basis when it comes to preaching and conveying the gospel at church, is because I am convinced that healing is not connected to human faith. I want to say that again. Healing is not connected to human faith. And still, even though it's not connected, and what I mean by that, I just want to make sure that we understand that, is that many times people say or preach or teach that if you have enough faith, you're going to get healed. That is not the case many, many times. I can give you multiple examples in the Bible of people with lots and tons of faith, and yet they were not able to experience the healing that they were praying for or asking for. So I'm going to say that again. Healing is not necessarily connected to human faith, but still we are commanded and free. We're free to pray for healing. We should pray for healing. And we should pray with faith, trusting. But the beauty about faith is that faith is a gift from God. And faith is nothing else but the ability to trust the trustworthiness of God. And the trustworthiness of God, again, is manifested and conveyed in the measurement as we worship and as we acknowledge that he is trustworthy. So for me to actually trust God when the doctor's report and the doctor's diagnosis is moving in the opposite direction that I want it to move, is actually a gift from God. It's not a human ability that I'm just having positive attitude and positive thinking over the reality that may be pretty negative and maybe even to the point that God, again, chooses not to heal the individual. Again, for me, I do have the freedom to pray. I am commanded to pray for those who are in need. I do pray for my mother. I pray for healing. I pray for those who are in need. And yet I am reminded, especially with such prevalent and distorted teaching of this concept of faith and healing that is so common in our world today, the reality is that, again, I am simply commanded to pray, and I choose to believe that God's ways, God's principles, God's decision is much better than what I can definitely think or perceive for me to be the best choice. I want to simply close this afternoon by conveying to you that healing ultimately is an affirmation that the gospel of Jesus Christ is truth, that there is truthfulness in the gospel, that there is truthfulness on this reality, that this gospel is simply for us a person that we welcome. This gospel is literally the affirmation that we make over what this person said about himself, and we must believe what Jesus said about himself. So we welcome the individual, we affirm what he said about himself, and then the gospel is simply a lifestyle that we adopt and we embrace, which is the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. So again, so when it comes to healing, healing must be the experience to affirm that we must walk in Christ's likeness. And sometimes for us to be shaped and molded and for us to be conformed into the image of Jesus, we might have to go through some of this illness, through some of these processes and some of these transitions. But as long as we can see our struggles, our difficulties, and especially our illness as an opportunity to welcome Jesus Christ, to affirm everything that he said about himself, and to adopt the lifestyle that he practiced, that he endured while he was on earth, I believe healing becomes the win for every single person that experiences.